Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's see if you can complete these sentences. You can't be a conductor without an
orchestra.
You can't be a coach without a
team.
You can't be a general without an
army.
You can't be a headmaster without a
school.
And you can't be a shepherd without or a flock. Psalm 95, verse 7 in the NIV says, "We are the people of God's pasture and the flock under his care." Now, we recently did a sermon series on the I Am statements of Jesus, and I wanted to follow that up with a sermon series on the We Are statements about God's people. In other words, what does God see in us? We see all sorts of things in Jesus, and now we're looking at what does God see in us? We are what? And so, different things we're going to be looking at, but we're going to look at them especially when it comes to being the church. What does God see in us as his people? Now, one of the statements Jesus made was, "I am the good shepherd." And as we said just a moment ago, you can't be a shepherd without a flock. And you might already be thinking to yourself, "Well, I'm not going to learn anything new today, am I?" And you might be right. But I would quote to you the words of Paul in Philippians 3, verse 1. "My brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is not troublesome to me, and for you it is a safeguard." Now, I'm not sure that you all have the same experience as I do with the police, but the police can educate you, can educate us about road rules. But more often their role is to enforce the road rules by gently reminding us about things we already know and should be doing, like keeping to the speed limit. Just as an example, of course. Many of us will pay money to hear our favourite music performed at the Opera House or at the Entertainment Centre, depending on your style of music. We might read books that we have read before or watch movies that we have seen before. We might go to places that we've been before, simply because we enjoy the repeat experience. There is a sense in which being reminded that we are God's flock is an enjoyable and comforting experience. But today I also want us to see the red and blue flashing lights of the police car that has pulled us over to gently remind us of how we should be living as the sheep of God's pasture. So let's begin with prayer. Almighty God and Father, please, again, we ask that you would open our eyes that we may see your truth, open our minds to understand it, open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible has many references to us being God's sheep. Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know that the Lord is God, it is he that made us, and we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture." Psalm 95, verse 7, that I quoted before in the NIV, in our NRSV, says, "We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand." And in Isaiah 40, verse 11, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep." Now, of course, we know King David encapsulated all these concepts in his famous psalm, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," which we just sang. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," or "With the Lord as my shepherd, I have everything I need." There is a deliberateness about the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. The sheep, though, do not choose to have the shepherd. Generally speaking, the shepherd chooses to look after his sheep. And this is not out of pity, the way we might adopt a stray cat or take home a rescue dog. This is a career move by the shepherd. It becomes a lifetime occupation. It becomes the primary goal or the single focus of the shepherd. The good shepherd will stop at nothing to achieve this goal. The good shepherd will even lay down his life for his sheep. And the sheep have done nothing to deserve such affection. We only love our good shepherd because he first loved us. And so Jesus says to his disciples in John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." And so my first point about being the flock of God's hand is that we are a favoured flock. We are the chosen ones, the one God has set his love and grace and mercy upon. My first point is that becoming the flock is not our choice, it's God's choice. We are a favoured flock. That's the point past. Unfortunately, and this is my second point, moving fast, isn't it? You must be pleased. Don't get excited, it won't last. This is my second point. The flock has chosen to go astray. We are a fallible flock. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way." And it's very important that we don't gloss over the word "all" in that statement. For the Bible is very keen to point out that all human beings are lost sheep. Romans 3 verse 10 says, "As it is written," that's quoting other places, "there is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who has understanding. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. And there is no one who shows kindness. There is not even one." Now Paul is quoting from two Psalms that repeat those words verbatim, Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, but I can feel some people's feathers get a bit ruffled by those words, "there is no one who shows kindness. There is not even one." And we think, surely there are people who are kind in this world. Yeah, yeah, I'm one of them, we think to ourselves. Surely there are people who are kind. But then we hear the wisdom of King Solomon reply in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "Yes, but surely there is no one on earth so righteous as to do good without ever sinning." And there's the rub. There are only two types of people in this world. There are those who have done the wrong thing and been found out, and there are those who think they got away with it. King David thought he got away with it. He thought he got away with his sins of adultery and murder, carried on with life as normal, but his guilt ate away at him. In Psalm 32 verse 3 it says, "While I kept silence," meaning when I refused to confess my sin, "my body wasted away through my groaning all day long." And we read these verses every week in our service, and I'll read it to you again from 1 John 1 verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So with a little help from God's prophet Nathan, David eventually saw the light. And when he had stopped deceiving himself, saying that he had no sin, he sought out God's help. At the end of Psalm 119, the last verse, verse 176, nice psalm to read while you're going out on a horse with a whip trying to get the rest of the villagers back into the church. Psalm 119, verse 176, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek out your servant." To be part of God's flock, we must first recognize that we are lost sheep. It's like anything, you have to acknowledge the problem before you can solve the problem. Luke 19 verse 10 then gives us the other bookend to this. "For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Which brings me nicely to my third point. While the flock has chosen to go astray, the shepherd has chosen to save us. We are a forgiven flock. Which makes me ask, why? Surely flocks are a dime a dozen to God, who literally owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So why would the shepherd try to rescue his wayward flock? Why not just let them wander where they want and just get a new flock? Is it because of the time and effort and resources that he's already put into them? No. This decision is not based on financial balance or gain, since the good shepherd is prepared to suffer personal loss to save his flock. He will literally lay down his life for them He will take the punishment that we deserve for choosing to ignore God. Now, after telling us that we all like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah 53:6 then goes on to say, "And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." What would drive the shepherd to go to such lengths for his flock? Obviously, love. God so loved the world that he sent his Son, our Good Shepherd, to lay down his life for his sheep, so that whoever of those lost sheep would hear his voice and repent or come back to him and follow Jesus as their Good Shepherd, those would be rescued and saved and find forgiveness and receive eternal life. The picture of the shepherd giving his life to save his deliberately rebellious sheep is a great illustration of God's grace. But Paul steps it up a notch when he moves the illustration from the sheep field to the battlefield in Romans 5:8. God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Paul then reminds us that this happened while we were God's enemies on the battlefield. Let us never take God's grace for granted. When John identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, we can immediately jump to the comparison with the Passover lamb that was originally sacrificed to save the Hebrew slaves from the judgment of God directed at the Egyptians and against all who would choose to reject him. But I want you to consider the other implication, which is that in order to save his flock, the shepherd became a lamb. He became like one of them. Jesus became like one of us and took on all our sin, that we might become like him and take on all his righteousness. Now, despite my more college training, I'm afraid I must add a fourth point. We are still God's sheep, and Jesus is still our Good Shepherd. Our ongoing goal is to remain God's faithful flock. In John 10:27, Jesus doesn't say, "My sheep heard my voice and followed me," past tense. "My sheep hear my voice and follow me," present tense. This leads to some obvious questions. How are we listening to the voice of our Good Shepherd today? How are we following the voice of our Good Shepherd today? Next time you're out and about on the bus or on the train or even walking down the street, take note of how many people are listening to something or someone. The technology that we heard about earlier, people are so fascinated by. They're all wearing something in their ears. It's easier to count the people who aren't wearing headphones or earbuds than those who are. We fill our lives with noise that often drowns out the voice of our shepherd. We need to take control and make a choice to listen to our shepherd's voice. My shortest poem. We need to take control and make a choice to listen to our shepherd's voice. Where can we hear the voice of God? In his word, the Bible. That's where God speaks to us. It says in Hebrews 1 from verse 1, "Long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son." And we read about Jesus in the Bible. God's Son is not only our Saviour, he is also our Shepherd. And at both the baptism and the transfiguration of Jesus, the voice of God was heard to say, "This is my Son, listen to him." Read his word, hear his voice. Morning or night or at any time in between, go to church, listen to sermons, go to Bible studies, watch videos and podcasts, go to more college, go to conferences, go to wherever. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And when we seek and submit to our shepherd, it is then that his promise comes true, that he will direct our paths and lead us to the green pastures and the still waters and travel with us through the dark valleys. So don't just hear the words, but ask God to motivate you into action by his Spirit. For Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." To believe in Jesus means that when he speaks, we must trust and obey. Yes, we are going to sing that later. Earlier I said, becoming the flock is not our choice, but behaving as the flock is our choice. Becoming the flock is not our choice. Behaving as the flock is our choice. With a slight nod to the fact that today is Father's Day, let me say that in the same way that we call God our Father, not my Father, we call Jesus our Shepherd, not my Shepherd. For being the flock is our corporate identity. The flock is the group of fellow believers to which we belong. The flock is where we find fellowship and mutual encouragement. The flock is where we exercise our gifts for the benefit of each other. The flock should look out for each other and care for one another. The New Testament has multiple references to how we do this. We are to love one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, submit to one another, honour one another, live in harmony with one another, and build one another up in our faith, as together we follow the voice of Jesus. There are many benefits that come from being God's flock, but we also face many dangers, as Celia alluded to in her prayers. We remain a very vulnerable group. We are at risk of attack, both from outside the group and from inside the group. To keep the analogy going, the Bible warns us of false teachers who will come to us as wolves in sheep's clothing. We need to be on our guard that the voice we listen to is actually the voice of our good shepherd and not the voice of an imposter. That's why we think it is important for you to pray for your church leaders, as we did this morning, and for your synod reps, as we did this morning, that we might be able to discern the voice of Jesus amongst the cries of those who might seek to lead us astray. Today, the flock of God is under attack, as it has often been in centuries past. Some sheep are wandering away from the voice of the shepherd to what they believe might be greener pastures. But our good shepherd has promised to be with us in these dark valleys just as much as he is with us beside the still waters. He will never leave us or abandon us if we remain faithful to him and continue to trust him and obey him as we follow his voice. So, how did you go today? Did you learn anything new? Maybe not. Were you reminded of things you knew were true but have not been putting into practice lately? How will you choose to respond? What will you choose to do? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you look at each other differently as fellow sheep in God's flock? Will you look at Jesus differently as you make time to listen to his voice? Will you hear the voice of your good shepherd and ignore it as you wander off and do your own thing? Or will you hear his voice and follow him wherever he takes you? Will you doubt and delay, or will you trust and obey? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as the people of your pasture, we are the flock under your care. In your love, you have given us your Son as our Saviour, and in your care, you have given him to us as our Good Shepherd. who not only laid down his life for us to save us, but now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as our risen Lord, whose voice we long to hear and obey. In our frailty as your sheep, help us to work together as one flock, to encourage each other to remain faithful to you as we continue to trust and obey our Master and Friend, our Saviour and Shepherd, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.